We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast. Your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama! What a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast. We call our early week edition the game plan. My name is Chris Plank, and I hope everyone had a great weekend. Listen, I owe everyone a big apology because we were hoping to have a post-World Series edition of the pod, but I think when Shea Knighton hit that game-tying home run in the top of the seventh with two outs, I think I blew a vocal cord or something because I paid for it the rest of the week. And it legitimately took some time to kind of get back to normal. In fact, DJ Sanchez, I think, was having a good laugh if we could muster up a smile in the postgame show because legitimately words just weren't coming out. But an incredible run for this senior class comes to an end. So we'll talk a little bit about OU's World Series run with Jessica Cootie. And she had an incredible piece that dropped. You know, it's not as in-depth as a feature, but it might be more impactful than anything that Jess has done involving softball and how beyond just the goal of winning championships and the goal of obviously success on the field, they want to spread the love off the field. They want to be a light. And we'll talk to Jess about that coming up here in just a bit. And we are going to bring you a second podcast this week. You know, sometimes in the summer months, it can be a little bit slim as far as breaking news. And obviously, there's really no events going on. But later in this week, I'm hunting down JT Gasso or Coach Patty Gasso. They have softball camp this week, so I'm hoping we'll be able to slide out to Marita Hines Field and talk to him a bit. Hoping to talk to Pooh Williamson as Lon Kruger added to his staff with a former standout from the University of Tulsa, and then tons of news to get to as far as the three-point line getting pushed back. And listen, there's always football news to talk about as we inch closer to kickoff with Oklahoma and Houston in the season opener. But listen, of all the things that we've mentioned so far, we failed to mention Diamond Sports. And it was a huge weekend in the MLB draft for the Sooners, but not necessarily with guys making the decision to turn pro. Perhaps one of the biggest offseason wins for Sooner baseball has already taken place as Braden Fink, despite his high draft, I guess you could say, round in which he was taken, has decided to return to school and play for the Sooners for what will be his redshirt junior year. Toby Rowland, the voice of the Sooners, joins us to talk a little bit about it. And T-Row, I got to know, were you surprised at all to see that Braden Fink made the decision after missing a year due to an injury to come back to the Sooners for the 2020 season?
I think based on where he was drafted, it was expected that, you know, it was likely that he was going to come back. He got drafted in the later teens, I believe, 18th, 19th round, something like that. He is going to be a redshirt junior next year. So he doesn't lose all of his leverage You know, theoretically, he could come back for two more years, in other words. So he'll still be able to demand a nice signing bonus next year if he has a good year. He's coming back from getting that arm fixed up. But if he is 100% healthy, and they've gotten so good at that surgery now that, you know, usually you are, it's a tremendous addition, a re-addition to their bullpen. And I think that's probably where he'll stay. He is, you know, he'll take the legend Smith role back, what legend did last year, and become that left side of the bullpen seventh, eighth, ninth inning guy when you need a big out against a left-handed bat, or more than that. I mean, he can go a whole inning if you need to, but he's got really good stuff. Now, before he got hurt, the coaches said his velocity had taken a major jump up last year.
Wow.
Like he was up into the mid-90s. And you got a lefty with a filthy breaking ball who also has a mid-90s fastball. That's what had scouts drooling, and will again if he can regain that look. But, you know, you add Fink back into a bullpen that's going to, again, contain Wyatt Olds and Zach Matthews, and hopefully we'll hear that Jason Ruffcorn, you know, selfishly, hopefully we'll hear that he's decided to come back as well. That's something to be excited about.
I'd say so. I mean, I was legitimately, you never know what might be going through a young man's mind when that opportunity to go, regardless of where you were taken. But, you know, I kind of thought when you get drafted by an elite organization like the Dodgers, Toby, it is tough to say no. But I'm glad
I think you saw a more, you know, kind of across the board this year. This is maybe different than the last few years anyway with OU. You saw some guys like Fink, like Brady Lindsley, like Brandon Zaragoza, like Jason Ruffcorn, who said before the draft, here's my dollar amount. If you want to meet that, great. If not, I really like the team we've got coming back next year. We think we got a chance to go to Omaha. I'm excited to come back and play for OU. You know, that, I don't know that it's been verbalized that way, but we've seen almost everybody that's been drafted the last few years has gone. Even if it's been in some of the latter rounds, they've decided to jump on their chance to go to pro ball. So I think that indicates maybe a little bit of a change in the mindset of the players, and it also tells you how they feel about how good they think they could be next year.
That's exciting, man. That pumps me up to hear that kind of news involving a guy, and I think I even texted you this weekend. I was surprised to see that Zaragoza, even though I know that he still is developing, but with a glove like that, you would think, and again, I'm untrained mind, but you'd think that would be something that scouts would be drooling over. So I was surprised whenever I saw that he wasn't drafted. But as you said, you set a number out there. If you don't meet it, I'm coming back. And that might have scared some people off.
That's true, and I don't know, I haven't talked to Brandon, but he's got you know, a family situation that they're dealing with right now where he might have just said, listen, I'm not coming out. I don't know that he did that, but gotcha. I think it's entirely possible that he said, I'm getting my degree, I'm going to spend some more time with my mom, and don't draft me. Now, that happens. I don't know if that happened or not, but it happens, and I would say I agree with you. A guy of that skill level, It sounds like something to that extent probably happened, or else somebody would have taken a flyer on him.
And again, Fink went in the 19th round. He was the 581st selection overall to the Los Angeles Dodgers. But he'll jump back into the bullpen next year and will be a huge addition to this roster after missing last year with an injury. By the way, Fink made it official on his own Twitter feed by releasing the statement, I would like to say thank you to the Dodgers organization for believing in me and selecting me in the draft. After consulting with my parents and the great people around me, I have decided to return to school for my junior year to play baseball and get my degree from this great university, Boomer Sooner. So as we talked about with Toby, great news for Sooner baseball. Well, it was a heartbreaker. It was a gut punch. It was, I can't really think of a more fitting way to put it. It was sad. It was sad to say goodbye to this incredible senior class of six standouts who will not soon be forgotten. And of course, that amazing moment in the seventh inning against UCLA, down to their last out, Shea Knighton drives a ball over the left center field wall. It was an amazing moment, probably one that if you were watching, I know if you were listening, and definitely if you were there, you will never, ever forget. And it kind of put an exclamation point on what was the true fight and the true heart of this crew who came up just short in forcing a game three against UCLA. Late last week, I had a chance to catch up with Jessica Cootie from Sooner Sports TV, and we'll get to talking about the team in just a bit, but I want to start by talking to Jess about her incredible piece that she put together. It is the pinned tweet right now at OU underscore softball. It is the impact that these, not just seniors, but this entire team has made on a whole new generation of softball fans and female athletes and young girls. And Jess, I just wanted to start by saying kudos. It's awesome. But take me through the idea. I mean, you shot this. You obviously created this. You came up with the idea for it all on your own, did all the work by yourself. So I just kind of wanted to get some perspective on where the idea came from and kind of what drove it, because it really set an amazing tone for game two in the championship series.
Yeah, it was, I don't even know how it came to me, to be honest with you. It was, you know, I had the conference that I went to last week and got to meet and talk with a bunch of like very, you know, amazing storytellers across the country and all these different places. That's one thing that's really grown, and I'm really proud of the way OU has done. I feel like we kind of were trendsetters in that area and the way that we were really telling stories, and now to see that it's kind of, you know, across the country, all these different universities and athletic departments have people that are just designated to telling feature stories. And so, you know, just I kind of came back and it literally landed and was thinking about you know, wanting to do something different than the normal, just like practice or stand-up recaps, you know. And so I was thinking like about just the way that it's attended, the how many people were in the stands and the way that the tickets sold out. And I had people asking me for tickets, you know, and it's just really incredible. And just the way that this team has followed, and I'm just like, you know, I just think about, you know, all those different little girls that are sitting up in the stands that just want to be on that stage one day. And, you know, thinking about, you know, this team also, and it tied in with Lauren too, you know, thinking about how, you know, Kaylee was a big fan of Lauren Chamberlain. And that was a big reason why Kaylee wanted to wear OU. And so just kind of like got my mind just started turning about, you know, the way that this, you know, the Women's College World Series is attended, the way Sooner fans are, all these little girls that are in the stands, and then how you dream of being on that stage, and then how, you know, these players right now were those little girls one day dreaming of being on this stage, and now they're inspiring the next generation. And I just kind of, I don't know, my wheels just started turning. How can we show this and the impact that they make, and kind of flashing back what they once kind of did and how they once kind of dreamed. And, you know, so then it just, I didn't know what I was going to do when I started it, to be honest with you. I shot Coach Riley's daughter and Coach Beedenbo's daughter and Benny Wiley's daughter, Hope, and Sloan and Lacey. I shot them all first. And then I didn't really know where I was going with it. And then, of course, I got your daughters involved, and then the Selmans, and then my cousins. I just called everybody that I knew with daughters and kind of lined it up. And then when I started editing, it just kind of came together, and it was awesome. I mean, it was really cool to see the team's response to it. I got a text from Coach Gasso talking about how it was at the perfect time. And, you know, I kind of think, you know, it just kind of got very intense, you know, for this team. There's so much high expectations, and I think it kind of was a reminder that, hey, you dreamed of being on this stage no matter what happens, and the light that you provide and the impact that you've made, the little girls that you've inspired, that's what it's really all about when it's all said and done.
You know, and it was kind of interesting because I was thinking about Sid a lot last night, Jess, late, and I think you and I have shared this story before, but and Sid and I joked about it at her senior day, or I guess I should say at their final home game during the regular season. And I'll never forget the Sid Romero that as a freshman, you know, the freshmen sit in the front
towards the staff. The seniors get to sit in the back whenever you're traveling on the bus. And when they left Vegas, she had left her family for the first time after being away for college. Vegas was our first trip for this freshman class. And she was emotional, and she was sad, and understandably so. Your first time away from home, you finally get to see your family again, then what happens after 3 or 4 days? You got to leave again. And to see that young girl become a woman and be the one who's comforting people last night, to be the one that, while sharing tears, is giving hugs and giving words of encouragement and is the person that everyone looks up to now. That's that growth that you see from freshman to senior year and that leadership that she provides. She is just – she's something else. She's going to be – she's on that Mount Rushmore, I think, of Sooner greats, isn't she?
Yeah, and I think you've said it before, too. Kind of did so quietly a little bit. You know, yeah. I mean, until this year, really – it was unbelievable what she did. But, you know, while she consistently, and you've said it before, she could have been the Big 12 Player of the Year several different years that she played at Oklahoma. But, like, you know, she kind of gets overshadowed maybe a little bit by the Pages, Paige Parker, Paige Lowry. And then, you know, obviously Shae Knighton played unbelievable, you know, at the World Series. So, you know, she's the MVP their freshman year, and then, or the freshman or sophomore year. Either way, you know, it's just kind of, while she's always been unbelievable and been a star, there's been other stars to go along with her that, you know, maybe overshadowed a little bit just how incredible she was for 4 years, you know, which not a lot of people can say. And so, you know, I mean, you think about even, I think, like, Lauren Chamberlain would admit it, you know, she's one of the best players or one of the most decorated and you know, one that is most recognizable in this program. But yet even she had the 1 year that she was really plagued by injuries. And to think, like, what Sid did, and without getting hurt, and to be able to consistently be on the field and deliver the way that she did night in and night out. And the fact that, you know, again, at times it never really was flashy by any means, which is, I think, a testament to how it was bigger than just softball for her. You know, it wasn't about her. It was about her team. It was about winning and doing things the right way. And yeah, I mean, what an incredible career. And I think it's just, again, it kind of snuck up on us a little bit. And you look at it this year, like, wow, you know, she's one of the best to play here. And you just don't, you know, you just are going along as they're here. And then it's just like, you wake up and they're done. But I thought the way that she handled it kind of, and really the whole senior class, I mean, yeah, they're sad, but it wasn't, I think they obviously regretted Monday night. I think absolutely that was uncharacteristic for them. That was not how they wanted to play. But I think knowing the way that they went out last night was very much kind of allowed for them to have some peace about the whole thing, because, you know, if you don't want to leave with regret. You don't want to leave things on the table. And I think the way that they responded, you know, I think they could leave and with their head high. And UCLA was on a mission. I mean, OU was doing, and Coach Gasso said that, but it was like, you know, it was almost just like it was their time. They had players hitting bombs that hadn't hit, you know, all season, and the way that right. They kind of stepped up, and, you know, it's just, it was almost like it was just their time. You know what I mean?
Jess, I know this is hard to put into words, And I do want to talk a little bit about the World Series run and the playoffs and our postseason in general. But you've done features on just about every member of this class. You did a feature on Sid, an incredibly heartfelt deep dive into Kaylee Clifton and everything she's been through. Obviously, Fale and her Polynesian heritage. Shae, I mean, you're great friends with Lo Chamberlain. You started covering whenever she was, what, a freshman. But you grew pretty tight with this senior class, and it's a pretty special group. I know we talked about Sid, but just as a whole, Patty said it last night, best senior class they've had, and you kind of brought up a great point a few weeks ago. Feel like we say that every year or so, don't we, with the senior class that's moving on.
But this really is. And, you know, I saw a lot of tweets. I mean, Jenny Finch, you know, put out a tweet last night thanking the senior class. I heard it a lot and throughout this entire last week about how, not just at Oklahoma, but arguably the best senior class to have played softball at this point. Like, a lot of people were saying that. One of, the best, if not the best, you know. And so I think, you know, I just think, again, and I saw a lot of tweets about how, you know that the program has arrived when you're disappointed when they lose in the national championship game. You know, I mean, this is a standard that's been set, but it's so hard. And it's so, I mean, I just feel like with softball, and I've had this conversation with, you know, Harley before, I've like with softball, I mean, it is such a difficult sport to go win a national title. I mean, things have got to go your way. And it is that way with every sport, but I feel like especially with softball. I mean, it is, there is a lot of parity, and you might have to be facing a pitcher that is just dealing, you know, or something. The bats don't go, and it's just so many things have to go into place. And for them to have won two back-to-back, then have finished fourth, and then to have got to where they got this year. And again, this whole time, the target's on their back. And for them to have handled everything the way that they did and still have been able to perform and get to where they got to, it's just, you can't put it into words. And it's going to be, you know, I think, and you heard Nicole Mendez talking about last night, and G. Juarez about the standard that's been set. And I just really think that there, from here on out, people are going to want to live up to that standard. And so, you know, you lose an incredible senior class, but you got a really good one coming in. You've got, you know, some really awesome players, some key players. I mean, look what Nicole Mendez, you know, did this last week, and Jocelyn, and, you know, so many players, the freshmen that what they've done, and, you know, the freshmen coming that will be coming in. I just think like the standard now will have been set. This is what they expect, and they want to, you know, keep living up to that.
Jess, how about this run? I mean, just in general, we talked about the senior class, but, you know, they faced adversity throughout the entire postseason, you know, getting beat on Sunday against Wisconsin, losing on Sunday against Alabama. This team always found a way. It was a pretty special group.
Sorry, I missed. What did you say? Sorry.
I was just saying how they overcame adversity consistently, and just how special of a group this was.
Oh, the softball team. I'm sorry. I was didn't even hear you come back on. I was had my headphones.
No,
in.
No worries. No worries.
No. So yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, the way that they've just battled through, you know, a lot of different things. That I mean, I don't know, and then the things that you don't even know, I think you always kind of take away that, you know, you and I can't really talk about with any team, but, you know, that you don't know behind closed doors what's going on, and then you can see and really appreciate, you know, what they were able to accomplish. It makes it even that much more special.
Jess, your thoughts on now going forward with this team, all right? It's impossible to replace Cid Romero, Kaylee Clifton, and Shea and Fala, just from what they've meant to this program. But you've got an incredible recruiting class coming in. You've had to replace incredible talent before, maybe not like this, but still, it's just, there's been great players who have come through this program. And, boy, you had a lot of really talented freshmen that got to sit and learn a lot this year, too. I know we've got football between now and then. We got a basketball season before we get there. But I'm so intrigued to start thinking about what that lineup might look like that next year.
I mean, it's always the most popular conversation following a loss, right?
Right.
Does it look like next year? And, you know, I think anytime you've maybe thought, oh, well, how are they going to replace this person or this person? I mean, like, time and time again, you've seen Coach Gasso reload this team, and that's what it is. It's not a rebuilding year ever for this program anymore. It's all about a reloading year. And, you know, that's why year in and year out, she gets some of the top recruits in the country. I mean, people want to come here and play here because they want to go play on the stage that you just saw them play on last night. And you know that Coach Gasso is going to be and her staff is going to be the staff that gets you there. And so I think, you know, the way that they still are getting the best players year in and year out, obviously, you know, it's a way that a program's run, but, you know, as we've seen in every sport, again, you know, a big part of that is the talent that you bring in and who you got coming in, those recruits that come in year in and year out, and the fact that, you know, she keeps bringing in some of the best in the country. You know, you can't help but just think that it's not going to drop off much. But with a leadership like that, you know, you think, I think back to that year, I kind of compare, I feel like we haven't had a senior class like this in any sport. It reminds me of a lot of the Buddy Hield, Isaiah Cousins, Ryan Spangler class. I mean, you've had incredible leadership and you've had incredible players that, you know, were playing their final year. But as far as a class goes and what they've meant to a program, can you think of any of a senior class like this on any sport?
Oh man, you use the Buddy and Isaiah comparison with Spangler. That's pretty good. But again, you know, there's that asterisk, as you mentioned, they never won a title. But Jess, I think you and I would need days to kind of sit down and go over even in our I guess what you could say relatively short time. You know, your first year here was 11. I know we've done this before and I can never remember. But even in our short time, I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine someone being more impactful. I'm sure we could dig in. But, I mean, this, you're right. I mean, it would take a lot of research.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like since I've been here and you know, the way that it was really tough to replace. And basketball is completely different, and I get all that. But it's still kind of like the same on any sport. Maybe the Baker Mayfield senior class with Oboe and all of them, maybe you could throw them in there in that conversation too. And again, since I've been here. So I don't know. It's always tough when you are replacing that kind of leadership. And you know, again, you think about what they did, their contributions on the field, but it's just as important of how they get this team, how they set the tone in the weight room and what they start doing right now.
Right.
You know, and who kind of steps up and becomes that person. So, you know, who becomes that person, we'll see. You know, that's kind of, you know, what is always fun about when this happens is who's going to be that person. So it's always a challenge. You never know how a program is going to respond when you lose a class like that. But I just feel like with the pieces that you got coming back and, again, another loaded freshman class that will be coming in, you can't help but continue to have those high expectations with this program.
All right, Jess, it's so far away, I hate to even bring it up, but player you're most excited to see step into a starring role next year? Is there someone that – I'll throw one out while you think, because, you know, I'm obviously a dork and I overfollow this thing, but I'll throw one out. Player I'm most excited to see hopefully make that step into a big-time role next year, Sammy Skelly. I think Sammy was a freshman who got to watch a lot. Now, and there's always that thought, you know, you go back historically in this program. You and I have had this conversation 1,000 times. Katie Self and Aaron Miller didn't play a lot as a freshman. I mean, I think Aaron was a pinch runner and Katie was a defensive substitute at time. And they were captains that senior year that won a national championship team. Not everyone can be Grace Green, Grace Lyons, Sid Romero, Fale, Lo Chamberlain, and come in and play day one. But I'm so excited to see what Sammy Skelly can do. She loves Oklahoma Sooner softball. I think she's got the potential to be a big-time power source as a DP, because they're going to need to fill that spot with Grace Green now likely going to first base. That's someone that maybe fans didn't see a lot this year that I'm ready to see jump into a potential starring role. Is there anyone that kind of jumps to the front of your mind?
Well, I'll let you kind of dive in on this a little bit. I think Grace Lyons is the next superstar. I think just people got to see a little bit, and again, you heard some of the comments that were made. That's a freshman making that play, and the smarts, the way that she plays, the mind that she has for the game. You know, again, I think, you know, maybe seeing her hitting come along, which we've seen her hit some home runs. We've seen her power. That's something that could come along, right, and be something that's very deadly for this lineup, right? I mean, she didn't hit as well as maybe some of the others in the lineup, but I think that's something that could come along, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I think – you know what? I was thinking about this. This is the stupid stuff I do after we lose a game. I started putting together a lineup for next year. Now, again, I haven't seen any of the freshmen play, and I'll never forget sitting with Jocelyn. I've got my spotter boards built for game one next year, and I don't even know when we're playing or where we're playing. But I look at Grace Lyons, Jess, as somebody who I think can become that Kaylee Clifton in this lineup. And I think she can hit two-hole. I think she can hit three-hole. I think she could – you know, I think Grace Green could be a leadoff hitter. I really do. But I think Grace Lyons is someone who could be that two-, three-hole hitter, maybe over the next couple of years. And if Coach Gasso is listening or JT, they might be like, what are you talking about? But that's just me and my untrained eye. But, yeah, I think that's someone who I maybe reached a little bit too deep. That's a great point on your part, because she's going to become one of the faces of this program along with Jocelyn and Grace Green and Nicole Mendez next year. Well, of course, the 8 pitchers that they're going to have on staff as well.
Hey, last thing, too, I mean, could there be a transfer come in? You know, I mean, the way that the rules and with softball and the sport, I mean, and look at G. I mean, look almost every year since I've been here, they've had a transfer that's come in. It's played, Shelby Finley has played a significant role, so you never know what that might look like in the next few months as well.
All right, so Jess, what's the next few weeks look like for you? Do you get to exhale a little bit? You know, we're 88 days away from football. I mean, we've got to go hit the trails up and play some golf. What's the next few days like?
Well, I'm working on my summer series, the featured series. So that will be airing on Fox all throughout the summer. They re-air those things over and over again. So all my favorite features from the year. And then getting that fed to Fox today. And then, I'm going to go to Sentinel America next week. And then from there, we'll start working on football content.
By the way, when you're watching that, there is a cameo appearance from the Plank Girls, both Emma and Gwen. So, unfortunately, I think they are doomed to look just like their father, but it was pretty cool. Got me, I won't lie to you. I think anyone who watches it, you get a little emotional. You get a little choked up whenever you see it. So really, really good job by Jess on that piece. Go watch it. It's only about a minute and a half, and it's the pinned tweet right now at OU_softball and at Soonersports.tv. Well, that's going to do it for this early week edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast. Again, we'll drop a new episode on Friday. We'll get Toby to jump back on with us. We are planning to talk to Braden Fink. I've asked our buddy Eric Collier to make it happen, so I know that there's a lot going on with camps and, you know, both for the for the student athletes, I'm sure, to try to get back home for a little bit, recharge the batteries. Some of the baseball players already off to play summer ball, so we'll try to hook up with Braden Fink. If not him, hopefully Skip Johnson. As we mentioned, we've bugged Ben Coldagelli to get Pooh on, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that we can hear from Patty or JT coming up for the tailgate. Until then, everyone have a great week. And even though there's no games going on, Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.